What's happening? What's happening? What's happening? I hope everybody out there is doing excellent. As always, you should be happy and always have a great day. Now, I know life things come up and sometimes you get frustrated, but just remember, tough times don't last forever, but tough people always do. So here's your boy, Coach Don. And welcome to another episode of D2 Sports. And as always, I am very happy to have you here. And I'm very happy to be on the air. All right. So we got a lot to get into today. So on the agenda list, first, we're going to talk about the Texas schools and how they did this weekend. I know the University of Texas Longhorns did not have a game this weekend. But Texas A&M, TCU, and Baylor had a game this weekend. So I'll be covering a little bit of that in our first segment. And then in the second segment, we're going to talk about the
Houston Texans
and what they did this weekend. And of course, in our third segment, we're going to talk about Hollywood, those Dallas Cowboys, and how they fared going up against their opponent this week. And then out of those segments, I will be letting you know which team
laid an egg of the week.
Boo, you stink!
With that being said, let's get to our normal schedule and agenda, which you know what time it is. What time is it? It is time for that fabulous Quote of the day. All right. And finally, we got this thing computerized. No more messing with. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, here's a darn piece of paper again. Dang it. All right. So the quote of the day comes from Victor Cruz, former New York Giants wide receiver. He says, "I never dreamed about being a millionaire. I dreamed about being a football player." Again, I never dreamed about being a millionaire. I dreamed about being a football player. And again, that's former New York Giants receiver Victor Cruz. So take this paper, and I don't want to see this no more next week. Get this paper out of my face. All right. So with that being said, let's get ready to jump off into the show, into our agenda. So before I start with the latest and the greatest of week four in the NCAA football, I want to first start off this segment by talking about, as you all know, everybody has known, our great famous president, and I'm being sarcastic, president number 45, has jumped into the mix again, which I don't understand this, but now he's attacking the sports world. And first he started off attacking. He was in Alabama at some rally, you know, a bunch of yokels and good old boys down there.
Yeehaw!
You know, his buddy Hillary Clinton, as she called it, deplorables from the trailer park. And he responded about the players protesting, you know, kneeling down or not standing for the national anthem, and basically saying that he wished that the owners would fire the players. I'm not going to go into detail of all what was said, but he said it in an ugly, derogatory way. And of course, then to keep matters going, he wanted to also take shots at Steph Curry, who is the point guard for the Golden State Warriors, as they won earlier this year, this NBA Finals. But he also took shots at him, saying that the White House visit is declined. And, you know, every time that a team wins a championship, whether it's football, baseball, basketball, etc., they always make a White House visit with the president, and president visits and makes jokes and things with the team. So anyway, he said that the visit was declined. But if you were paying attention earlier this summer when Golden State had won, I think before the Golden State even got into the NBA Finals, Steph Curry had already said that if they were to win the NBA title, that he would not be attending the White House because he didn't agree with Donald Trump's views. And also there was a few more players on the Golden State Warriors who also stated the same thing. So they had already made up their mind that they were not going, whether they defeated Cleveland or not. With that, Donald Trump just went on a rant about that. Here are my thoughts and opinions of the whole thing. First, with the NFL. Let's make no mistake, and I'm going to throw the NBA in here too, and I'm going to throw Major League Hockey, Major League Baseball, all the other major league sports. I'm going to throw them in here too. Make no mistake about it that these owners supported Donald Trump. They support Republican candidates because Republicans are more, cater more to the rich people. Let's just make no mistake about it. They don't care about the middle class. They don't care about the poor. They only care about people with money. And that means the people with money who are like owners of corporations and businesses, they get tax cuts, they get all these tax breaks and things like this. So they're going to support the Republican candidate. Make no mistake about it. And Jerry Jones, Bob Kraft, and I'm sure many NFL owners, as well as many NBA and other major sports organization owners, supported Donald Trump and probably donated hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars to his campaign this past year when he was running for election. With that, my thing is the players, I feel, are doing the right thing because you got the freedom to do whatever you want in this country. You're not offending me. I am an Air Force veteran myself. And it doesn't offend me when somebody doesn't stand for the flag. Not at all. Because I know the history of this country. And me being African American, I know how I was treated in this country. If you listen to my episode a couple of weeks ago when I was talking about the Michael Bennett arrest, I had a similar situation that happened to me. What I'm trying to say is, with this, especially in NFL and the NBA, you have predominantly African Americans that play these sports. And the owners that own these teams in the NFL and the NBA, you need to have some type of sensitivity. Now, I don't mean sensitivity like players can come whine to you about everything. What I'm saying is, you know who's putting people in that stand for you, who's making you millions or billions of dollars as a owner. And let's just be real. Let's just be 100% real. It's your black athletes that are doing it. They are the guys who are running the ball, catching the ball, taking hits, or delivering hits and stopping people. They are the ones that are a big contributor to you having those trophies in your cases. You building these new stadiums. You building these new workout facilities and things in that nature. That's where that money's coming from. So if you are supporting a guy like Trump because you're looking for tax breaks and incentives, by all means, I'm not telling you who to vote for and who not to vote for. But what I am saying is that it comes a point in time where you need to stand up as an owner and really say whose side that you're on. Yes, you have a business. I understand that. But your resources that are making your business successful, i.e. the players, you need to come across and let either your players know that you're on their side or that you don't care about your players so they can move on and do what they have to do in life. And whether that's the boycott or not play anymore or whatever in that nature. But going up, laughing, shaking hands, grinning in front of your player's face just because you're handing them a check. But in the meantime, you want laws and things or certain people in power that's going to hurt these players and hurt their families and hurt places where they come from and keep them oppressed. Then you yourself is just as guilty as the president. So what I'm trying to say in a nutshell, the owners need to come out and speak up. They need to come out and say, yes, I voted for Donald Trump, but this guy is a nut job. I don't agree with what he's saying and what he's doing. I didn't vote for him to stand on those type of laurels that he has. That's just the coach's opinion on that. And with that being said, we're going to take a quick commercial break. And when I come back, we're going to talk about those
Texas teams
in the NCAA football in week 4 and how did they fare. You're listening to D2 Sports. We'll be right back. Ever wonder why your check engine light is on all the time? They put it there for a reason, and you shouldn't ignore it. Engine problems can rack up a mountain of bills. Take away the worry. Stop into AutoZone and find out why your engine light is on. AutoZone has the equipment to help you find out the problem yourself. For parts, accessories, and advice, you need to do the job right. Get in the zone. AutoZone. What's so tasty about Mark's Outings Burgers? Thick, juicy, made to order, cheese, bacon, all on a signature homestyle bun. It's the only original cheeseburger that is cooked to perfection. Mmm, doesn't that sound delicious? Mark Outings Burgers. Stop by and experience the taste and flavor. Welcome back to D2 Sports. I am your host, Coach Don. And if you're just now joining me, in the last segment, I kind of went over the disgusting remarks that Donald Trump had tweeted out about the NFL and the NBA players and my personal opinion towards it and just the way I see it and the way I feel. So with that being said, let's move on to the great part of the show now that we got that disgusting stuff out of the way. And that is the college football. And the first team I want to talk about, of course, here in the T state or the big T state, you can say, because there's another T state, but this is the big one, is Texas NCAA football. So the first team I want to talk about that played this weekend in a game that I saw was the
Texas A&M Aggies. Gig 'em.
Versus the Arkansas Razorbacks. And you know that sign of that wild pig. And at first, let me just say this before I go over the stats. Texas A&M pulled this thing out. I thought Arkansas was going to run away with this game, but I was totally wrong. So let's go over the stats real quick.
Total yards.
Texas A&M had 501. Arkansas had 457.
Turnovers.
Both teams tied. Texas A&M had one. Arkansas also had one.
Time of possession.
Texas A&M actually lost this. They had the ball for 27 minutes, 43 seconds. Arkansas had the ball for 32 minutes and 17 seconds.
First downs.
Texas A&M lost this category as they were just beaten by one first down by Arkansas. Texas A&M had 20, Arkansas had 21. So usually that doesn't happen, but in this case, in rare cases, you will have a team that wins most of the main categories that I go over, and they still end up losing the game.
Are you flipping kidding me?
So now, as I was discussing earlier, with the score being Texas A&M 50, Arkansas 43, this was definitely a shootout. There was no doubt about it. Okay, Corral, those Aggies was shooting at those Razorbacks, trying to gun them down. But in the end, in the overtime, the Aggies prevailed and they won. Kevin Sumlin, again, your job is safe for this next week or so. Now, my breakdown of it, if you really want to know my point of view, Arkansas still has not really been a good team since the early 90s when they had guys like Quinn Grovey, Steve Atwater, Barry Foster. That's when those guys were kicking butt. Late 80s, early 90s, somewhere in that time frame. And ever since then, Arkansas has not been the dominant football team that they should have been. And of course, when Houston Nutt was there, yes, that's the coach's name.
Sometimes I feel like a nut, sometimes I don't.
That coach, when he was there, he was able to get a three-prong-headed running back attack that included Darren McFadden, who is now playing for the Cowboys, and Felix Jones, who used to play for the Cowboys, and Dallas Cowboys, I mean. And other than that, Arkansas was usually maybe a fourth or fifth place team at best in the SEC. And now they have fallen down to maybe a sixth or a seventh place team in the SEC. So with that being said, I mean, the Aggies did win, but again, I don't think it's nothing to write home about with Mother. And they're going to really get their test this month, because now they're going to start running into your Mississippi State, your Ole Miss, your Alabama's, your Auburn teams. This is going to be really their test and see what this team really has to bring to the table, which won't be much.
I can tell you that, because
as you can see from the scores all season long, their defense has given up a lot of points and a lot of yardage. And then their offense, even though their offense is scoring a lot of points, their offense has yet to run up against a pretty formidable defense, which they should be seeing within the next 3 or 4 weeks here in the SEC. So if you're a Texas A&M Aggie
Gigum
fan, enjoy the victory now, because as I'm telling you, there's going to be 4 or 5 losses coming for your team. So just get ready for that. Now I want to get into the
big grand shootout also.
Except this one was in the Big 12, which involved number 16 TCU Horned Frogs against number 5 in the nation, Oklahoma State
Cowboys. Yeehaw!
Now, Oklahoma State, was number 6 in the nation. With that being said, everybody was building the hype up for Oklahoma State, as they always do, like every other year.
They say that this team is really great. They're going to be dominant. They're going to do this. They're going to win the Big 12.
Well, coming into this game, this was their first test of the season, because their first previous games, just like Texas A&M, were pretty much easy and you expected them to win.
All the defenses are approved. Mike Gundy, the head coach, has done this. The defense has improved. The offense is more efficient. Oh, they're all better. Blah, 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 blah.
Blah, blah, blah. And then it happens. They lose just like they always do in a big game, as TCU defeated Oklahoma State 44-31. Let's get to the stats real quick.
Total yards.
TCU had 466. Oklahoma State had 499. So Oklahoma State won that one.
Turnovers.
TCU definitely won this battle, as they only had one turnover in the game. Oklahoma State had 4 turnovers.
Time of possession.
TCU won this battle. TCU had the ball for 39 minutes and 4 seconds. Oklahoma State had the ball for 20 minutes 56 seconds.
First downs.
TCU won this battle with 32 first downs. Oklahoma State only 26. All right, so to get to the good part of the game, when I started off watching this game here, how everything went, TCU took control of this game and
did not let go
of this game. And big shout out to the head coach, Gary Patterson, also to the quarterback, Kenny Hill, because he played an excellent game. With that being said, TCU, one thing that they have
is defense.
They're probably the only team in the Big 12 that has a pretty
good defense.
where they're going to get out there and try and stop you. The best way they know how, even if they don't have the best players, Gary Patterson, the head coach of TCU, is going to formulate a game plan and trying to stop you. He's not just going to let you just run up and down the field against his team unless his team has a bunch of injuries or unless they're really struggling. That's what I like about TCU's head coach. He's a defensive-minded guy, Gary Patterson. And sure enough, he dominated the time of possession. He took time off the clock. He ran the ball. He threw short pass plays pretty much, you know, that range from 5 to 15 yards. He really wasn't looking for throwing the 50-yard bomb. So that way they were able to control the clock, if you understand what I'm saying. And it's great in that situation. And with that, Oklahoma State's best part of their team, which is their offense, because they want to get out. They want to have these drives that take under 5 plays and they go 80 yards and score. Well, they couldn't do that. And then they started losing their rhythm. And then they become frustrated because guess what? They're not on the field all the time. And then when you fall behind, here's another tangible thing that happens. Trying to catch up so you're not thinking and you make
stupid
mistakes. The other great thing that TCU did is their defense got after the quarterback. Once they had a lead, they went after Mason Rudolph, who was the quarterback for Oklahoma State.
Get over here!
And they sacked him a number of times. And some of those sacks were strip sacks where they knocked the ball loose and TCU recovered. They took advantage of those turnovers. In that Ram, and like I said a while ago, I'm not trying to beat up on Oklahoma State, but guys, I know it's been a great 10 to 12 years that they've been hollering and screaming about these guys supposedly trying to be the champion. Oh, they're going to win the Big 12. Oh, they're going to win the Big 12. And it never happens. And it hasn't happened under Mike Gundy's watch, the head coach there. So I'm not trying to throw him under the bus, but I think that alumni need to say enough is enough. If they're looking at winning the Big 12, something has to change. Either the recruiting or the coach needs to go, because the coach is going to recruit offense first. And as you see here, now the problem is with Oklahoma State, they still have Oklahoma, another rival that they can never beat. Their home state rivalry still to go later this season. And by them dropping this early, this is going to put them in a
lot of desperation.
So we are definitely going to see what happens. But Oklahoma State, until you get a pretty decent
defense
that can go along with your offense, forget it. You are not winning the Big 12. And TCU, who is more balanced, has a better shot of winning the Big 12, because even though their defense first, their offense can still put up points, as you saw. The total score was 44 to 31. So with that being said, it might come down to TCU and Oklahoma as one of the champions in the Big 12.
We will have to see.
All right, everyone. With that being said, we're going to take another quick commercial break. And when I come back, we're going to jump to the
NFL
and see what those
Houston Texans
did against the
New England Patriots.
My golly. You're listening to D2 Sports, and then we'll be right back.
Let's get organized. The Home Depot has everything you need to organize your closet, attic, or garage for less. Make better use of your space with easy storage solutions from top brands like Sterilite, Rubbermaid, HDX, Closet Made, and Martha Stewart Living. perfect for storing all of your holiday decorations away until next season. You won't find a better price anywhere on the things you need. Visit HomeDepot.com/storage for more details. More saving, more doing. That's the power of Home Depot. What's so tasty about Mark's Outings Burgers? Thick, juicy, made to order, cheese, bacon, all on a signature home-style bun. It's the only original cheeseburger that is cooked to perfection. Mmm, doesn't that sound delicious? Mark Outings Burgers. Stop by and experience the taste and flavor.
Welcome back to D2 Sports. I am your host, Coach Don. And if you're just now joining us, in the last segment, I talked about Texas A&M having a narrow victory over the Arkansas Razorbacks, and also TCU with a big upset this weekend over Oklahoma State University. So with that, let's move on into our next segment here, and we're going to talk about the
Houston Texans. Howdy, y'all. I'm a Texan. And I am a great Republican.
Versus the New England Patriots.
Gentlemen, please. As you well know, I was among the first to embark on the cause of our common country.
Let's see how this matchup played out.
Hey, boy. Yeah, I've been boxing since I was 12 years old. I ain't scared of no Patriot. Take this. And take that. Take this.
Boy, it's looking good for the Texans right now. Uh-oh, wait a minute. The Patriots are starting to hit back.
To take any measures which will lessen the dignity.
Ooh, now they're exchanging. They're going back and forth. And if Houston can just last this last round, they will win the game. Wait, what are they doing? They're putting the guard down. Don't put your guard down. Don't put your guard down.
K.O.
Oh, he's hit the mat and he is out for the count. Yes, as it was a close one. And for NFL standards, we could go ahead and put this one with a Texas star and say it was a shootout. The Texans just managed to lose this one by a score of 33-36, thanks to a last-second touchdown by the New England Patriots. So, let me go over the stats here for this disappointing loss.
Total yards.
The Texans actually won this. They had 417 total yards. New England had 396.
Turnovers.
Houston won this battle. They had two turnovers. New England only had one.
Time of possession.
The Texans won this. They had the ball for 33 minutes and 38 seconds, while New England had the ball for 26 minutes and 22 seconds.
First downs.
Houston won this category. 23 total first downs. And New England had 21. But the problem is it didn't reflect on the scoreboard. And as I said before, this is normally what happens sometimes, as you can still lose. The Texans had the lead with 2 minutes to go. They were up 33-29. They had the game in the bag. But I'm sorry, folks, and I'm not trying to hate on the head coach for the Texans, but you let this get away, Bill O'Brien. It's all your fault. You had your defense play a prevent defense against one of the best comeback teams in the NFL. What were you thinking? Did you not see what they did 7 or 8 months ago when they played the Falcons in the Super Bowl? What were you thinking, Bill O'Brien? Oh my goodness. I was just shocked. I was totally, my mouth was just wide open. I was like, this man is really going to sit here and just let these guys take the ball and drive right downfield
and score
and win the game. After your rookie quarterback put on the show, Deshaun Watson,
for the Houston Texans,
passed for 301 yards. Yes, he threw two interceptions, but he also threw two touchdowns. And he also ran for 41 yards off of 8 carries. And in the last closing minutes, because the Texans couldn't get a first down, but the rookie did the right thing. He put them in field goal range. They kicked the field goal to take more than a 3-point lead, which meaning the Patriots had to score a touchdown to win the game. And what does the defensive coordinator and Bill O'Brien do? They put their defense in a prevent zone and just allowed the New England receivers to run for big yardage and just catch the ball. I mean, I know people brag and say,
oh, man, you can't give Brady time. Oh, man, Brady is this and that.
But I'm sorry, people. This wasn't Tom Brady. This was the idiocy of the Texans.
Brainless idiots. You couldn't even beat a motley group of gnomes.
By letting him just throw the ball in a wide open zone. The receivers just ran in the zone. They were waiting on the ball from Brady. Hell, they probably could have ran and got even more yards and scored faster. Because two of those throws, the receiver for the New England Patriots was sitting there waiting for the ball. That's right, waiting for the ball to get there. So the Patriots, I know, are going to send a gift basket to Bill O'Brien. And my thing is, going into the next game and going into the rest of the season, please, 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 I'm begging you, defensive coordinator, I don't know his name, for the Houston Texans, and Bill O'Brien, if you have the lead and it is less than 2 minutes in the game, please
stay aggressive.
Keep going after the quarterback. Don't just let the team just do what they want and just slowly, methodically drive upfield like that. Do not do this again. I mean, it was highly impossible playing on New England's home field that you were going to beat them. But when you had the game wrapped up in your hands, please don't just let your defense just go out there and play in prevent.
We can't play. We're too stupid.
Try to stop them. And that way, if you lose, then hey, then we can say that Brady really earned his marks, that Brady really is a great quarterback. But when you're only rushing 3-4 guys, and they just kind of just doing a containment rush, you know, trying not to let Brady get out of the pocket like he can run as if he's Russell Wilson or Cam Newton or Michael Vick or somebody. Of course, I would have thought any quarterback that's in the NFL right now could have made those throws to win the game. He did nothing spectacular. He just hit the open man. But you guys are going to make him look like a god now. Houston, you may be at the end of the segment on who laid the egg of the week. And it may not be the whole team. We'll see. With that being said, still, I like the performance of the rookie. He's learning. And as I said, as the games go on, maybe a couple of more games, he's going to be there. He's going to be top notch. And then the Texans are going to really be working with a formula. They still need to get the running game going for them to be successful and to keep their defense off the field, because the Texans do have an excellent defense in that regard. Let's see what happens next week with their new opponent. And with that being said, We're going to take another quick commercial break. You are listening to D2 Sports. And when we come back,
it's Hollywood
time as we're going to figure out what those
Dallas Cowboys
did going up against the Arizona Cardinals. Stay tuned.
Ever wonder why your check engine light is on all the time? They put it there for a reason, and you shouldn't ignore it. Engine problems can rack up a mountain of bills. Take away the worry. Stop into AutoZone and find out why your engine light is on. AutoZone has the equipment to help you find out the problem yourself. For parts, accessories, and advice, you need to do the job right. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Let's get organized. The Home Depot has everything you need to organize your closet, attic, or garage for less. Make better use of your space with easy storage solutions from top brands like Sterilite, Rubbermaid, HDX, Closet Made, and Martha Stewart Living. Perfect for storing all of your holiday decorations away until next season. You won't find a better price anywhere on the things you need. Visit HomeDepot.com/storage for more details. More saving, more doing. That's the power of Home Depot.
Welcome back to D2 Sports, and I am your host, the coach, Don. And now we are here. Finally, we get to talk about the boys up in North Texas, which is the
Dallas Cowboys
that you all been waiting for because they're supposed to be
America's team.
As they always say. So anyway, the Dallas Cowboys versus
the Arizona Cardinals.
Let's see how this matchup went.
Hey there. Oh, that's a pretty little bird. Wait a minute. Ah, it's attacking me. It's attacking me. Where's my gun? Where's my gun? Take that, you little bird. And don't you ever mess with a cowboy again.
Man, it was just a little bird. You didn't have to shoot him with a gun. Could have just swatted him away. You just killed one of Mother Nature's creatures. So therefore, you're going to burn in hell. So the Cowboys prevailed over the Arizona Cardinals by a score of 28-17. Now let's get down to our nitty gritty.
The stats. Total yards.
Cowboys had 273. Arizona had 332. So Arizona won this part of the game.
Turnovers.
Dallas had 0. Arizona had 0. So both teams tied.
Time of possession.
Dallas had the ball for 23 minutes and 45 seconds. Arizona had the ball for 36 minutes and 15 seconds. So Arizona won there.
First downs.
Dallas Cowboys had 15 and the Arizona Cardinals had 22. So Dallas lost 3 of the major categories, but they still end up winning the ball game pretty handedly over the Arizona Cardinals. Now, let's break it down. First of all, I want everybody to know, no disrespect to the Dallas Cowboys, but the Arizona Cardinals have slowly been losing people these last 3 years as they've been losing some of their offensive linemen. They've been losing some of their great receivers. They've been losing some of their great defensive linemen, which last year they lost Calais Campbell as he went to the Jacksonville Jaguars. So he's not there anymore in this pass rush. Now, Arizona did come out in this game hyped up. They were ready to kick butt. Bruce Arians had them fired up, but they could not complete the goal. They started off with a 7-0 lead, and basically they just slowly fizzled. You know how that balloon is when you first blow up a balloon, how it's real tight, and then just as the hours go by, the balloon just starts loosening up. And it starts getting almost to the point where it's ready to go flat. That's what the Arizona Cardinals basically did. Dallas got off to a slow start, but once they got grinding and they made some big plays on offense, more than what Arizona made, that's how Dallas ended up winning this game. So on Dallas' side, with the big plays, you know, Dak Prescott decided in the second quarter to go ahead right before halftime and just take the ball and just run it in his damn self and score the touchdown. And then after halftime, of course, Dallas drove downfield again. Dak Prescott hit Dez Bryant on a little dump-off pass, and Dez Bryant
did the rest
by taking it and carrying three or four defenders. Of course, a couple of his linemen came in to give him a push, and he ended up scoring.
Touchdown!
And then from pretty much there, Dallas was in control. Arizona did make one last attempt to fight back with Larry Fitzgerald catching a
touchdown
pass to tie the game up. But then Dak Prescott again came back and showed those wonderful
Mississippi State Bulldog skills.
And end up throwing a touchdown on the run. And then Arizona tried to counter back, but they could only get a field goal. And then Dallas put the icing on the cake when Ezekiel Elliott scored the last touchdown of the game. So on the Cowboys side, if you're a Cowboys fan, I will say this. You ought to be pretty happy of this victory because, yes, as the timer says, the game started off with them falling behind. And it looked like for a moment there that this game was going to be just like the game the week before with the Denver Broncos.
A blowout.
But Dallas kept their head. And the main hero of this game, I would say, are the guys on the defensive side of the ball. Because it looked like that defense was just going to get exposed and shredded up like shredded cheese on a taco. Again and again. But thanks to a guy off your defensive line by the name of DeMarcus Lawrence, who so far has been balling. I mean, my man has been just a monster from the defensive end. He has really stepped his game up. I don't know if it's because he's fighting for a contract. This is his last year under his rookie deal. And he's trying to get that money, 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 money. The man is leading the NFL right now in sacks, and Arizona could not block him, especially in critical downs. They could not keep him out of the backfield. If he didn't get the sack, he set up one of his teammates to get the sack. And that's what Dallas needs. That is the prescription to make them feel better. Because as you see now, as teams are starting to figure out their offense and what they're doing, and they're starting to stop them more, then, hey, that defense is going to have to be on the field a little bit more. With that, the defensive line is starting to counteract that. And even though they lost at Denver, they still got two or three sacks in Denver during the blowout. And, of course, at the beginning of the year, they got three or four sacks against the New York Giants. This is the formula that's starting to come together on that defensive side of the ball. And as I told you before, if that defense can rank somewhere between first and 15th in the league, hey, Dallas might be something to really deal with. They might be a big problem. So keep your eyes peeled on that because they're starting to step up. And honestly, you know, if the receivers on Dallas, if they can't get open where they can get the ball deep downfield and Dallas end up committing stupid penalties on the offensive side of the ball to where they have to go in the third and 10 or something like that. Well, hey, more than likely, if the defense is zoning and taking away the deep pass, then Beasley and Witten is always open for a 5 to 6 or 7 yard gain. The defense is going to let you have that, and they're going to tackle you, and you're going to have to punt and come off the field, and then your defense is going to have to hold. So in this game, Dallas defense showed, again, just like in the Giants game, that they can hold on a pretty decent offense. Not a great offense, but a decent one.
Are you flipping kidding me?
So that is some steps of improving. So you have to give
Ron Marinelli
a little bit of improvement. With that being said, this week, Dallas, you're not on the egg of the week list, so you escape. But just know they have to turn around and play again on Sunday against the
LA Rams.
And that's going to be interesting to see how they do and to see if they can stay off the list and if they can keep this going. So hats off to the Dallas defense. The offense, yes, you made some plays, but the big part was the defense slowed down Arizona where you were able to win the game. With that, I'm going to take a quick commercial break. And when I come back, we're going to announce the winner of who laid the
egg of the week.
You're listening to D2 Sports. We'll be right back.
What's so tasty about Mark's Outings Burgers? Thick, juicy, made to order, cheese, bacon, all on a signature homestyle bun. It's the only original cheeseburger that is cooked to perfection. Mmm, doesn't that sound delicious? Mark Outings Burgers. Stop by and experience the taste and flavor.
All right, welcome back to D2 Sports. I am your wonderful host, Coach Don. And now is that time you've been waiting for that we do every time I have a show is
who laid the egg of the week.
And in this week's winner, can I have a drum roll, please? The winner is Bill O'Brien, head coach of the Houston Texans.
Boo! You stink!
As Bill O'Brien went up to New England this past Sunday, he had a great game plan. Deshaun Watson played well. The whole team played well. And they had patting their lead of the game with about 2 minutes left. And then to all give it away to the New England Patriots. So congratulations, Bill O'Brien. You did a wonderful job this weekend. And you are the winner of the
Egg of the Week.
Boo! You stink!
So with that being said, contestants that win this contest will be sent over 2,000 pounds of a dozen eggs. No, I'm just joking. Anyway, that being said, I hope everyone enjoys the show and has a great week. And also have a great weekend. And until next time, stay tuned, stay positive, stay strong, and stay brave. I have been your wonderful host, Coach Don, and I am out of here.